go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 93 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Happy day after Christmas, December 26th. To me, it is the worst day of the year. When the Christmas lights, they lose their luster, their spirit, the Christmas spirit, it's all gone. It's so weird how on Christmas Eve, the lights bring so much joy to you. And then the day after Christmas, they give you nothing. They're like a scorned lover. How did I ever love that entity, that person, that bitch, that whore, that floozy? No. Something about the day after Christmas. It's a somber day. I've never liked the day. And people who take down their Christmas tree and their decorations the day after Christmas, bah humbug to you. I hope to never enter one of your families via marriage or any other type of connection. I'm not really sure how else you combine families. Illegitimate child, perhaps. But I still have some leftover elf cum, if you're a fan of David Tell, on the other side of the screen, which I'll have after this episode. I did not get any sneakers for Christmas. I do believe sneakers are the most overpriced a clothing item there is that anybody can buy. They're made by slaves in China or other places in the world none of us have ever been. They're made out of rubber, cheap rubber and glue. They probably cost $6 maximum to make, and then they sell them for, I don't know, $7,500 if you're a sneakerhead, hundreds of dollars. No thank you. I do have a few pairs of sneakers, but the problem with sneakers is you buy them, they look great, but they get dirty within a month, and it's a waste of money, and you have to buy new sneakers once a year, once every couple year, a couple times a year. You end up with a closet full of like 15 sneakers. They're all dirty except for the newest pair you bought for $85. That's why I am a fan of leather shoes, because you can take care of the leather and you could have them for upwards, one pair of leather shoes look almost brand new for upwards of a decade. But that's another topic for another time. This is episode 93. Did not get any sneakers, but I do love the smell, the scent of new sneaker. When you open up that Nike or that Adidas New Balance box and you get those. I love the smell, the B-Man, I love the smell of chemicals, new sneakers, gasoline, sunscreen, YMCA pool chemicals. Oh, I don't know. I just love the smell of cancer. I love filling up my gasoline, smelling. I wouldn't drink gasoline, but I would do a whippet of gasoline. Never have, but I would if it were available in some form. Something about sunscreen reminds me of summer. I remember being on vacation when I was a young kid, and we get into an elevator with all the other families, so they would all have sunscreen on. You know, like 9:30 in the morning, we're going to the beach, and that smell is, it just reminds me of summer and fun and vacations. And YMCA pool reminds me of the kids' birthday parties, and there's always something. I like the smell of chlorine. And the indoor pool, it's encapsulated by the four walls and the ceiling, so I love that. I'm doomed to die of cancer at a very early age. We probably won't even make it to episode 100 because I love gasoline. All right, that was a weird, weird, strange opening. But do any of you have any weird, odd smells that are non-sexual? I'm just talking like random scents that it's like, oh yeah, I like that. I like the scent of that. All right. Well, I like the scent of this episode, episode 93. Let's get into something I found on Reddit. Comes from, this is the subreddit for hitchhiking. I've never hitchhiked ever. All right, hitchhiking sucks. Can't stand people waving at me. Had people flip me off, swerve into me, throw shit at me, people trying to rape or buy me. Everyone stares with that same shitty look on their face. Sometimes I'm sitting there for hours or days. Most people say I'm some sort of fucking murderer or convict on the run. Fuck, I get the cops called on me for looking suspicious, and most of the time the cops are happy to give me a ride. Well, good on them, the police, but don't be blaming me for your shortcomings while hitchhiking. You should not be complaining. When you're on the side of a road, on the side of a freeway, and you stick out your thumb for a free ride, you should not be complaining at all when a guy drives by in his Mercedes and gets a laugh at your expense. You chose this racket. This was a racket you chose. You chose to be a hitchhiker, so you got to take the good with hitchhiking with the bad. Same with me with stand-up comedy. B-Man, you all know I do stand-up comedy. Been doing it for over a decade now. Now, there's a lot of shitty parts of stand-up comedy. You go to an open mic. There's a list of 25 comics. You get there, and there's already 20 comics on the list, so you write down 21. But then you look around, right? I'll look around, and I'll count, well, how many comics are actually here? There's one, two. Oh, there's 12 comics here, and yet there's 20 comics on the list, which means 12 comics, or sorry, like 8 or 10 comics, they called up the host, or they had someone who was arriving on time put their name on the list. It's infuriating because they skipped the line without even being there. And when someone skips the line in an open mic comedy, basically what that person is saying is, my time is more important than your time, so I am okay skipping you in line, which is why I try to respect everyone's time. So I have skipped a line, but I not nearly as frequent as most comics or many comics do. A couple weeks ago, I did a show. Again, 10 plus years of comedy, maybe 7 audience members that were not got other comics or workers or, you know, bartenders at the bar. Last year, I did a show with no audience members. I've done shows where I can't tell you how many times I've driven over an hour to get to a venue only for the host not to show up or for the show to be canceled because of weather. Or, the venue double booked and the other booking was karaoke. So, of course, they're going to choose karaoke over comedy. Fuck karaoke. I hate karaoke so much. You get gypped. The host, the promoter tells me, oh, yeah, I'm going to pay you $75. And then you get there and then, I get a free drink and, an overcooked steak and maybe, a drink ticket. How many times? I could go on and on. And the times I've been heckled, the drunks at the bar who don't even turn around. Just being in so many comic rooms, stand-up rooms, hearing stand-up comics tell hacky jokes, ripping jokes off, terrible impressions. I've seen fights. I've seen it all. And it's like 95% of stand-up comedy is bullshit and I fucking despise. But, it's that 5%. When you're on stage and it's going well and that new joke hits and I feel reborn because I have this new joke. I can mold it and turn it into something. It's like a newborn child and I get that glee that I feel like a child. That 5%, it makes up for all the other bullshit that you have to deal with in stand-up comedy. Oh, and in the message, DMing bookers, like, hey, can I please get some time on your comedy show? I would blah blah, and you gotta play the politics. Ugh, it's the worst. But again, I chose this world. I chose the world of dick jokes. So I'm not going to complain about it, even though I just spent the last 5 minutes doing very much so complain about it. But I did so to display with you that you cannot do that. When you're a hitchhiker, you got to take the good with the bad. You envision what being a hitchhiker is going to be like. Oh, I'm going to stick my thumb out. I'm going to meet so many interesting people as I go from the East Coast all the way to La La Land. Well, honey, it's not going to be all plums and lollipops as you're traveling through all the states. It's not going to be like that, okay? You're going to have some fun people who pick you up and give you a ride, and you have a fun conversation, and you learn about that person's culture and their life and their viewpoints and learn some new vocabulary words. But there's also going to be some malevolent characters. There are going to be some miscreants. There are going to be some people, more than some, that are going to view you as a mark and try to take advantage of you. To get, you got to give. And people want something in return for the free miles they're giving you. See, what you're doing with hitchhiking is you've taken away the two most expensive things people have to pay for. So one is lodging, or, you know, a place to live, and two is their car. Yeah, when you have your car, so you're skipping out on your car payment, insurance, the car taxes, having to have your license, the taxes you get with every year, you're skipping out on all that. So you're in no position to complain when someone views you as a street whore on the side of the road. Sorry, street whore on the side of the road looking to turn tricks in return for a ride to the next town over. Like, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to judge any John who's leaving a plaza. Let's say he's leaving a plaza that consists of a Joanne Fabric, a Subway, Planet Fit, the 24-hour fitness, and some Chinese restaurant, and he pulls out to the intersection, the four-way intersection, and he sees you at the corner with your thumb out, or some cheesy cardboard sign asking for a ride. I'm not going to blame that guy, right, who's just a regular John wearing generic Walmart sneakers. I'm not going to blame him for looking at you and thinking, well, maybe if I give this babe $25, she'll give me a hand jibber in return. Because again, you're viewing this, you're very self-conceited in your hitchhiking. Like, you view yourself as a hitchhiker. You view yourself as an eccentric person living on the edges, trying to get by one ride at a time. But that's not what the rest of us view you as. See, when I see a hitchhiker, I see a bum. I see somebody homeless. I see a scavenger. I see a leech. I see an addict. I see an escapee of the island of misfit toys. And you can't blame me or anybody else, because when I view you, I don't see hitchhiker. I see lady who's disheveled. I see in threadbare clothing. I see a lady who hasn't combed her hair. A brush hasn't gone through your hair since Thanksgiving. You have your boots are being held together by duct tape. You have so much dirt on your hands and your arms that it looks like you might have literally just dug under the barbed wire fence of the local prison. So yeah, you might be a convict. You might be on the run from the law. Hitchhiker is the ideal thing you are. But at like one out of 25 of you are a hitchhiker who has no record. has nothing else wrong with you, no drug addicts, no weapons on you. That's 4%. 4% of you. The other 96% are dangerous, are not to be fucked with, are not to be even looked at. Like, can you really blame a soccer mom in her mid-sized SUV? Can you blame her for driving by, stopping it at the intersection, giving you a squirrely look and telling her kids in the back, hey, don't look at her, don't look at her. Can you really blame the soccer mom or any other normie or NPC who does that? You really can't. You really can't. Again, it's not all lollipops and plums on your way to La La Land. Like that guy who's at the intersection and viewing you as a whore. Like, can you really blame him? Can you? He's down on his life, right? He just ate at the Chinese buffet. He got lunch there for $12.99. He's got to go back to his shitty job. And he's at the shitty job because the same reason why we're all go back to our shitty job after our lunch break is because we don't want to be you. We don't want to be the bum. We don't want to be the leech. We do not want to be the scavenger on the side of the road with a cardboard sign begging for a ride to the next town over, to the next highway exit. Because, we don't want to go back to the office. We don't want to go back to the work site. That job, it doesn't fulfill our soul. It barely affords us enough money. It barely pays us enough for us to be able to pay our mortgage and our car payments. And it gives us shitty health benefits. And you might have enough money left over to go visit Myrtle Beach 1 week a year. But the reason why we choose that lifestyle is because the alternative is to be you. And that's why we look away. We look away. We either look at you in disgust, and then we look away real quickly. Because it's almost like, we're looking at we're stuck between a bum and a shitty job, and there's nowhere to go. The shitty job gives us just enough to survive. And when we see you, we see what could happen if we say fuck off to our boss and get stuck on the street. So it makes us feel a little uncomfortable seeing what could become of us if we just say fuck it and throw up the grenade and just say, fuck it, I'm going to be homeless and quit my job. That's like, it's when we look at you. Like, you're the problem. Like, we shouldn't have to look at you. Put your thumb out. Put your thumb out. And then when someone laughs at you or a finance bro in his Mercedes flips you the bird, or just, all right. In your head, this is part of the game. This is part of the hitchhike game. This is part of the lifestyle. So stop bitching and moaning and crying about all the downsides to being a hitchhiker, because there are going to be times. Because there are times on your way to La La Land that you will have that fun ride with the eccentric driver that makes you laugh and giggle. And maybe you stop at a truck stop and you do the hanky-panky and you give each other an STI and you go along your merry way. For every year, it's worth it. Now, you chose this lifestyle and the journey. What do they say? Like, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Oh, that's bullshit. It's always about the destination. The journey, everyone hates the journey. But yeah, if you don't want to be a hitchhiker, what else can I tell you? Get some money and book a flight. Let's go look at some photos. Episode 93, segment 2. I also enjoy smelling rubber glue and Play-Doh. It's been quite a few years since I've had the pleasure of smelling Play-Doh. Rubber glue, though, I have some of that on the premises. I do enjoy that. The reason why I brought that up the smells is because a pine tree, Christmas tree, that might be my favorite smell of all time, especially a freshly cut tree the first day you get it and put it up in your house. It's why I'm very pro real tree, is for the authentic smell of a Christmas tree. There's nothing quite like it. That the candles, the scented sticks, they don't do it justice. You need a real tree to take a real whiff of. Love that. Ooh, is there anything? Oh, one other thing before we get to our next Reddit post. I was walking today, getting my steps in, and I saw a delivery truck, a Guinness beer delivery truck. And on the side, like the advertisement on the side of this delivery truck was for a Guinness Nitro beer. I took a photo of it, and it said it's the world's first Nitro beer. I don't know what Nitro is, but I do not want Nitro as part of any alcohol drink I'm consuming. I know there's Nitro coffee. Again, I've never ordered one because Nitro is too intense a word for me to be drinking it. Whatever Nitro is, when I hear the word Nitro, I think a radioactive meltdown. Like if I consume anything that's Nitro, it's going to make my stomach just kind of explode and then implode on each other. That's too much action with my beverage. Just give me a cold beer. Beer, cold, maybe a fun flavor. Nitro, hydro, active, anything that makes me think nuclear is not a liquid I want to be putting in my mouth. Come on, Guinness beer. You don't, who the fuck is the beer? You know, I was going to tell Guinness how to advertise and what alcohol drinks they should be making. But again, I don't even have 45 followers on Verbal Graffiti on my YouTube page. So who am I to be talking about being a successful enterprise? But I, as a consumer of beer, now I prefer liquor, whiskey, and tequila, but I will have a Guinness every once in a while, and it's a lovely drink to have, especially in a dive bar with a shot of Jose Cuervo or Don Juan, or not Don Juan, what's the, you know what the fuck I'm talking about with the tequila. But a Guinness, you don't need any advertising. You don't need any new drink. Just give us the drink that they pour slowly with the foam rises and you wait for it to settle in your own special glass. You don't need Nitro, whatever the fuck that is. So just give me a beer that's dark that I see the foam rise, and it's that watching the Guinness settle in the glass. That's the only advertisement you need for your drink, because it's so unique and your own that you don't need any extra flavor or any other fireworks in your beer or any extra percent. Just give me the Guinness. Give me the Guinness. We don't need any Nitro. We don't need any Nitro here. This isn't WCW. All right, with that little rant out of the way, let's move on to our next thing I found on Reddit. Comes from the subreddit Porn Culture. Does anyone make good use of the friends features on porn sites like Pornhub? I feel like I often get random friend requests from inactive accounts, but one of my in real life friends who I added on Pornhub, I find there's an extra thrill in going to their profile to see what porn they've been watching, and sometimes messaging them about it or sharing porn with them. I'm not looking for people who post content, just other porn enjoyers who I can talk with about porn and creep their playlists and watch history and stuff. Has anyone had success finding friends like this, either in real life or on the internet? My Pornhub account is Brief Filler, by the way. If anyone wants to connect there, I'll probably be down to add anyone who seems like a real person. Well, Well, it's interesting. You know, we've gone through a lot of posts about a lot of people who are lonely and looking for to meet new people, new friends, new lovers. So, hey, I think you're a genius. Now, not all geniuses are entrepreneurs who are making the world's next greatest company. Some geniuses just find a new way to meet friends and people with similar interests. Now, you, a brief filler, I will joyfully accept your friend request via Pornhub. My username on Pornhub, I believe, is Sleazy G. That's Sleazy and just the letter G. I'll put it right there. Any of you, add me on Pornhub. Now, I'm not at Pornhub very often. I usually use more, you know, I'm a porn guy, and us porn guys, we stay clear of Pornhub because it is the Disney of smut. We use more raunchy, more gutter sites. I'm using, what's it, elephant porn and sexyporn.com. I'm using a lot of different sites, but I feel you. I gotta say, I've never friend requested anybody on Pornhub or any other site. Now, what I have done, and I suggest all of you do this who enjoy viewing smut. I like the videos that I watch and I enjoy. And let me tell you why. Because when you like a video or, you know, you press the heart button, next time you go to that site, Pornhub will give you videos that are similar to the videos that you actually press like on. So what that does, that saves you a lot of search time. Similar to Netflix, where we all bitch and moan. Like, you go on Netflix, you spend more time searching for something to watch than actually watching whatever it is you settle on watching. So Pornhub, they curate your likes to whatever your likes may be. Now, for me, that's usually busty Latinas, busty Asians, college co-eds, and real couples where I know they're real couples because there's real, like, artwork and posters and pets walking through the screen. That's how you know it's a real couple. So, like, I'll like those videos. And the next time I go to Pornhub, they just list all videos from those genres. So it gives me, it cuts out the search for me. So basically all those videos Pornhub has listed for me. So that gives me more time as a lover of smut to view the smut and less time wasted looking for the smut that I enjoy viewing. That's why I like all the videos that I, papa to whatever slang you want to use for doing that. That's from one smut lover to another. That maybe that's a tip we can talk about when we connect and become friends on Pornhub or any other or webs. I think I'm Sleazy G on all the nefarious sites that I frequent. I do love talking about smut with people, so I feel you with this one. Now, I'm a stand-up comedian, and I know recently with the Hitchhiker Reddit post, how the lady, was that the first segment or was that last episode? Anyway, where I was bitching about all the things that are shitty about stand-up comedy. One of the great things about stand-up comedy is bullshitting, chopping it up with the other comics. Last week, I was at the Elbow Room in West Hartford. There's a comedy room downstairs, but above, you know, when you first walk in, there's a bar. I was talking to another comic. His name is Logan. I don't think he'll mind me mentioning his name. He's a young guy, 21 maybe. He's a senior in college, or he might have just graduated. No, I'm a 40-year-old. He's 21. But we bond over stand-up comedy, and we bond via porn. Like, he started, I'm not really sure how the conversation started. It probably came from me, but we started talking about smut, and I asked him, what new porn stars are you watching of late? And he told me, what the fuck's her name? Oh, Angie Faith. And right away, I know who Angie Faith is. And I asked Logan, I go, oh, are you watching? Did you watch the Angie Faith Net Video Girls video. Is that the one that got you into her? And Logan told me, he goes, I've never heard of Net Video Girls. What's that? And then I explained to him that Net Video Girls is this guy or this group of guys who is basically a casting couch, but a little bit more upscale, where like they'll fuck a babe, they'll meet a babe for the first time, have sex with her on a nice couch, and they'll do POV and videos from different angles. But it's not like an actual casting couch. That there's better lighting, and there's usually like a really nice background. It looks like they use an Airbnb LA, like in the hills type house to film these videos. Anyway, Angie Faith is very busty, and she has a great video, and she's very loud and vocal when she makes love on camera. So I enjoyed that. So I told Logan, hey, you better watch, if you like Angie Faith, you gotta watch her Net Video Girls video that's on Pornhub. And then I started, well, what other porn stars are you into? And he told me Mia Makova. And I'm like, okay, so you're in you like heavy set, like top heavy blonde babes. Checks out because his girlfriend is blonde. And then he asked me, hey, B-Man, what new porn stars are you into? And I told him Sarah Arabic, who is I think she might be Italian, or maybe she's Arab. Anyway, she's a busty Latina, and she has, or Italian or Arab girl, I don't know, she's darker skin, and she has a slut tattoo. Like the word slut above her pubic area. And I'm just into her. And he's like, well, I've never heard of her. And I showed her. And he's like, oh, you like the thicker, darker girls. I was like, yep, exactly. But it was such an enjoyable conversation. Just one comic to another, chopping it up about smut that we watch and that we enjoy. But that's an outlier of a conversation. Like, you can't have a conversation. Like, if you're a normie, whatever the fuck that word means, and like you're not in a weird subculture like stand-up comedy, and you just have a normal job, like you really can't talk about the pornography that you love and that you watch with your family and your friends and your coworkers and your the people you go to church with. Like, this is just not an open conversation you can have. So I understand completely. Like, have the thrill of seeing the smut that somebody else you know is into. It reminds me of when I was in high school. Now, when I was in high school, it was the early 2000s. It was probably Internet 1.0, maybe even pre-1.0. So it really, Internet smut was a thing, but it would wreck your computer if you tried downloading it. So we were at my friend's house in the neighborhood. I won't say who it is, but we found he had, like, underneath his mattress, he had a stack of like Sears magazines and Victoria's Secret magazines and all these, maybe JCPenney, I don't know what, he had all these lingerie photos, and we busted his balls for wanking into that. To this day, we still make fun of him for that, for finding his porn stash. You know, before like you could just hide it on the internet so easily. And it's fun. It's fun making fun of your friends for what it is, you know, they get off to. Now, yeah, we all have like the above board smut, if that's a thing, like Sarah Arabic and Angie Faith and Mia Makova. That's just normal doing their thing, lovemaking, being actresses on camera. But everybody's got a kink, got a genre that they'd be mortified if people they knew found out. And like, I'll admit, there was a tiny phase where the B-Man was into pregno porn, but that's a short-lived phase of mine. And now, right now, I do find myself in a phase where I'm watching a lot of ski mask video porn where the lady's wearing a ski mask. I don't know what that's about. I'm not sure how long this is going to last for. But that's a weird genre I'm into. But I get it. I think I fuck with you. It is. Yeah. I hope when you sent a friend request on Pornhub to the person you knew, I hope you were friendly enough with that person that he would not be upset with you for making that friend request. And if you, you got to be good enough friend. Now that I'm thinking about it, you got to be good enough friends with him because we all have fake usernames. So to know somebody's Pornhub username, you have to be pretty good friends with them. So I'm sure that person would be cool for the friend request. Yeah, but I get it. Talking smut, it's fun. And there are very few people you can do it with. So if you have a friend and you know that friend's username on Pornhub, yeah. Yeah, there are few. You know, it's not the same. Now that I think about it, it's not like looking at somebody's playlist on Pornhub. Yeah, I would love to do that with all my friends. I would get a thrill out of that. That would make me giddy. That would make me like, ooh, yeah. What's your weirdo dick into? But I do it's not similar, but maybe it's different. But I do that. I do it with Venmo. Like I scroll through people who keep their Venmo public. I love seeing what my friends are wasting their money on. If I'm bored on a Sunday afternoon and I get sick of watching or, you know, scrolling through Instagram and X, I'll open up Venmo and see who's lost some gambling bets and who bought pizza and who owes rent and electricity on Venmo. Young people, they love keeping their Venmo public. So that's a little joy that the B-Man has. But yeah. If any of you are on Pornhub, let us know your username. We'll friend request you, and you know maybe we'll talk some smut offline or online, but off verbal graffiti. All right, let's move it along. We are going to continue reading some smut. The Salesman's Wife by author John Lawrence. We are at like about a third of the way through page 53. We will read two pages together. There's only one way to find out, she mused. Just one way. The record stopped just as the cook rang the bell. There's your burger, she said with a smile. She disappeared into the kitchen for a moment, then returned with a plate containing his hamburger and French fries. As Alan began to eat, she leaned again near him on the counter. He could sense a strong, electric vibrations between them. Where are you from? She asked. Seattle. I'm headed for San Francisco. I've never been to either town, she sighed. I'd sure like to go sometime. She leaned in closer to him, so close her creamy, scarlet lips were tempting near his mouth. Maybe you could take me sometime, she said coyly. Maybe I could, he replied, and then added slowly, except my wife might get uptight. Oh, you're married? She said with a disappointed tone in her voice. Uh-huh, he said, taking a mouthful of French fries. Too bad, she said. You're a nice-looking guy. It might have been a nice doing a little traveling with you. Alan could hardly believe the shamelessness of the girl. She was practically begging him to fuck her. His cock was hard as a rock in his pants, and it strained excitedly against the material. He wanted her. He wanted to fuck the hell out of her from the minute he saw her. Well, why the hell not? A voice cried inside his head. You need a good fuck. What's wrong with getting it from another woman if you can't get it from your wife? Stella leaned into the young husband as if she knew his adulterous thoughts. I bet you've got a real big one, lover, she whispered. I like to have a big, hard prick inside my cunt. I like to get fucked real hard, you know what I mean? Alan was staggered. He had never met anyone like her in his entire life. His body throbbed with passion, and he thought his cock would explode in his pants any minute. I realize you're married, she continued, gazing with fury, sensuality into Alan's eyes. But you know there's nothing wrong with a little on the side. I mean, if you're a lonely salesman and you're away from your wife. She slowly let her tongue lick her lips, leaving a glistening wetness in its path. And nobody has to know about it. It'll be our little secret, because I want you to fuck me. What do you say? At first, Alan was hesitant, but a savage lust began to swell up inside of him that completely shattered his vague misgivings. I say, let's fuck, he said finally, because, baby, I want to ram it right up into you. Great, she said, smiling devilishly. Where can we go? He asked. My place. I rented a mobile home just down the road. So finish up your sandwich, lover, and get your mojo working. Go suck a fat one.